Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I don't feel well, Bob.
What did you think was going on there, Bob?
I don't know. I mean, I'm so used to it now.
That's convulsing.
Even though yesterday was one of the worst, though, it shocked me a little bit because it was like screeching, the yelp.
Yeah. I was just convulsing, but I'm fine.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Very quickly, before I get to some pirate stuff, Joe Milton, no relation to Milton Berle, Bob, has been...
I met him once.
Did you?
Milton Berle, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
He was a really great guy. But he was up at Nemacolin Woodlands for an event that I had to MC, and he was there, and he was as nice as can be.
Was he funny as well?
Yeah, he was great. Very funny, actually.
Who's the most famous non-sports person you've ever interacted with? He's got to be up there. Milton Berle.
Non-sports person.
Yeah. Like, I know at the Lemieux stuff, you used to be there with Michael Jordan and people like that.
I got to think about that one.
Any presidents you've rubbed shoulders with?
No, I'm not in that crowd.
Milton Berle has got to be up there, Bob. Would you say that?
Yeah. He was there at the same time that Regis Philbin was. Do you remember him?
Of course.
Yeah, he was another.
Did you ever meet Carl Malden?
No.
All right. Well, when you think of one, let me know.
There haven't been too many, I don't think. It's mostly sports related. How about you?
I told you about Lech Walesa, the old president of Poland at the 2002 Olympics, I think it was, in Salt Lake City. But where I've actually like interacted with the person? Oh, no. It was Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
I interviewed
Adam Sandler, and I interviewed Andy Roddick's wife. What's her name? What's her name?
I don't know.
Limits? Can you look that up? If they're, I don't know, I hope they're still married. And I was, I was intimidated. I really was, Bob. In fact, the first thing I said to her was, so you're Andy Roddick's wife.
Brooklyn Decker,
that's right.
Oh, yeah. My.
I like that name, Brooklyn, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a neat name.
And she was very kind, mm-hmm. To a stumbling idiot such as myself.
I have an answer for you.
Yeah.
Finally. It's the guy who... Maroon 5 lead singer, what's his name? He was
Carl Malden.
No,
Adam Levine,
and his wife, Bahati, who's
Bahati.
Yeah,
you know of her, Limits?
She's not familiar with her
famous,
name.
Yeah, she's a big famous model. Anyway, they were at Nicholas's Coffee in Market Square.
Wow,
having coffee. They were staying at the Fairmont, I guess. And so, I remember my wife and daughters were so upset because. He was in there, and I talked to him and said hi, and I said, you mind a picture? Because I really like your music, and he took a picture. I had her take the picture. I didn't know who she was. And they said, you didn't get a picture of Bahati.
I still don't
know who that is. I felt she was very nice and everything, and she took the picture, but that would be, I guess, the person that would come to mind.
I have some sad news, Bob. The Bengals are hinting at the possibility of relocation as soon as 2026, and the sad part of that is what happens to the Escaloozer? Do you bring that to the new place?
No, they won't. I think this is a ploy to get what they want. You know, play that that hand that you have, being the Cincinnati Bengals, on a team that has this nucleus of offense that people love out there, and they don't want to lose a football team, so they're playing hardball.
Man, that's one of the iconic, I don't know what you would call it, landmarks in all of sports, is when the Bengals start losing, the people get on the Escaloozer.
Yeah, who thought that was a good idea? It's just exposed.
The Bengals.
It's just architecturally, I wouldn't like that.
It's one of my favorite sights, Bob, in all of sports, watching the sad Bengals fans, the crying Bengal fan. Remember that? That lady that was crying that became a meme going down the Escaloozer.
Escaloozer.
Take great pride in Ben Roethlisberger looking up at the Escaloozer.
Who coined the name? That's where the real award should go here.
They deserve an Academy Award for that.
The good old Escaloozer. And the other thing was Joe Milton just got traded to the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, good for him.
So what is Dak Prescott, is he happy or not? He got a big deal last year, and I hear that he's unhappy with things.
I mean, it's only Joe Milton. He's like a project.
No, I understand that, but I'm wondering if he's chirping off or...
I don't know.
He's making $50 million. I'm sure he's fine.
Let me ask you this. Which of the quarterbacks that the Steelers could have had, presumably, this offseason, might they come to regret the most that they didn't get? And help me with my list, oh limitless wonder. Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold, Joe Milton. Who else slipped through their fingers, Bob? Could they have gotten? Derek Carr, probably?
Jameis.
Yeah, you can put Kirk Cousins if that doesn't happen. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mariota?
I'm not going to put Jameis. None of those guys. I still would rather them have Fields right now.
Which of those guys has the best chance to be a topic on this show by the end of next season where we're saying, man, the Steelers had a chance to get him?
I think Justin Fields, but I'm still a little bit timid about the situation that's around him. I like Aaron Glenn. It's probably going to be a defensive culture. Like, if they could put a good offensive coach around Fields, then he can do something, but it's still the Jets. I don't think they're going to go out there even with Fields and win 10 games just because that organization is distraught.
I think it might be Joe Milton, Bob. I'm serious.
Okay.
Now, he's not going to play in Dallas unless Dak gets hurt, but if he does play, I think there might be something
Daniel
there.
Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones is a great pick.
Maybe not. I mean, depends on how he plays. But for 1 year, $14 million?
Yeah.
If you are thinking about, and they're, I know they're not. The Steelers do not believe in bridge years or anything like that. They want to try to win as best they can, and so that's why they didn't go in that direction. But it might have been feasibly better so that you could set yourself up for whoever you take in the draft, either this or next year.
Broncos country.
That's right.
Kenny Pickett is going to be good, average, bad, or a complete disaster in Cleveland, Bob. What's your pick?
Average.
I want to say bad, but I'm going to say average. I think he's going to be okay.
Do you think he's going to start?
You know, they have the second pick. If they get who they want and they really believe, I think that person could come in and start.
I mean, I'm seeing all these reports or, you know, mock drafts. I mentioned the Bruce Feldman one, where if they don't get Cam Ward, they don't want Shador. They don't want Dart, that they'll just take.
You take Shador if somehow he fell to 21?
Would I?
Yes.
I don't think he's the guy. So
I don't either.
No. I think Abdul Carter's going to the Browns at number two, Bob. Now, why is Bruce Feldman giving me the Belfont snorkel? I've been nice to him his whole life.
What happened to Aaron Wilson?
Ryan Wilson. Oh, we got unbelievably. Remember, it was the double reverse snorkel, the rarely seen one, where not only did he snorkel us, he went on the PM show the same day. Did we ever get to the bottom of that? Was that Donnie Football or Pony?
I don't know. I still don't know. We're going to have to ask Donnie when he comes in.
I don't understand it, Bob. When Bruce Feldman came out with a book about quarterbacks, who was first on board having him on a show? Me. I've met him. I like him. Bruce, I hope you're well, said the email from this morning. Wonder if you could join us on the fan today sometime between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. to talk about your mock draft, Joe. And he never got back to me, Bob. And it hurts.
You shouldn't let it hurt you. Because, number one, if he doesn't want to get back to you, that's his loss. He has a chance to talk about what he's doing on this show in front of a Pittsburgh audience that is very much committed to sports. So that's his loss, not yours.
Should I rip him?
No.
I will later. All right, let's move to the Pirates. And by the way, we're going to get back to Bruce Feldman's draft here because I honestly do think he's the best mock drafter out there because he actually talks to bunches of people and quotes them. Anonymously, yes, but you obviously don't get the quotes you want. Nobody wants to go on the record and say George Pickens has been enabled his whole life and I wouldn't go near him, like guys were saying in that draft. It's great stuff. So we'll go over that later. First, the Pirates actually won a game, which was good. And I don't want the following to be turned into any grand proclamations I'm trying to make because I'm not. I just think over the past couple days, there have been some things that I've liked that I've seen with this ball club. And I'm going to go over them one by one. And I want you guys to react to this. Would you please?
Yes.
Number one, the willingness to sort of cut bait with David Bednar. Now, I know he shouldn't have been the guy going into the season. I get that. But at least they didn't wait around any longer. At least they finally cut bait and said, no, we're not even going to have you in the bullpen. Go work on stuff. You have to leave now. I like that. It gave them a chance to move on and reconfigure their bullpen. That was a good move. Bob?
Yeah, I think it was a good move because it had to be done. I mean, if you're really serious about trying to do whatever it is you're doing, you can't allow a guy who's struggling to continually be out there because you just throw him out there.
Yeah, this isn't an audition time.
No. They gave him money in arbitration, but he's not living up to it, so he has to go down. And I think it's going to be a longer stay down there for him, not a shorter one. I think he has to really figure this out. But it also depends on what they have in their bullpen now, and that still is a little bit of a problem. They have an overabundance of left-handers. You know, Dennis Santana looks like the only guy, because I'm not going to put Holderman in that role yet, the way he struggled.
Well, I'm going to get to that in a moment, the rest of the bullpen. Limits, are you with me on Bednar?
I am. It's obviously a tough move just because of the emotional connection that the city has and the team has with Bednar, but definitely the right move. I'm glad that they acted so swiftly on it, only five games in, and they didn't let it linger like they did last year before they ultimately moved him off as a closer.
Yeah.
Right move, good time.
No lingering. No lingering. And you know what? Honestly, based on performance, I think the emotional attachment to Bednar was zero factor for almost anybody. I didn't see one person anywhere in any venue or social media on the street anywhere else say, wow, you can't do that to that guy. There was none of that.
No, there really wasn't.
Number two of the five things I liked that the Pirates have done or that's happening. I liked the guys coming out of the bullpen yesterday. Borecki had the biggest out of the game, a strikeout, and Santana. Now, Shelty wouldn't commit to him as a closer, but I like his demeanor. I like his stuff. I liked what the bullpen did, and I'm somewhat optimistic, even though, Bob, you mentioned probably an overabundance of lefties. But certainly yesterday, I liked the stuff, and I wouldn't mind seeing Majinski go back to a bullpen role either.
That's a good call. That's what I would do. I would bring up somebody else. I think Harrington still could be that guy. You know, he was a little nervous the first time out. I'd rather see Majinski in that eighth inning, seventh inning role because he has enough in his arm that can get you through three outs if you need it. The longer he goes as a starter, I think you're going to find that it gets more difficult for him.
Twinning streak?
I'm honestly kind of surprised they have not already demoted Harrington and that he's a twinning streak.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't demoted him back to AAA and called up a reliever to where that is Majinski to the bullpen, especially with Bednar. They're currently down, I think, one reliever in that pen going with six starters.
Yeah.
I do like Borecki. I like him more in like a swingman role because he's kind of the Jared Hughes type of get you out of jam guy.
It's a hell of a pitch.
Yeah, he's a good player compared to an eighth inning guy. But right now, situationally, how they have it, have no idea who's going to pitch the seventh. But I do like Borecki and Santana there.
Well, I think it's going to be some combination of Holderman, Borecki, and Santana, don't you? And Ferguson's been pretty good too.
Ferguson has been really good. Meza, not so much. I mean, they don't really want to use Joey Wentz that much. I mean, they've used him, what, once or
twice?
I'd
rather use Carson Wentz, Bob. This is encouraging. Number three, is Alexander Canario. I mean, this is the type of guy that, believe me, this does not make up for Ben Cherington's, you know, dormant, sleepwalking, inexcusable offseason. But this is the kind of move you need to make. This kid has really good numbers. He's young. He seems like at least a potential power hitter. I would certainly prefer someone who's already good and proven and in their prime. But failing that, and they certainly do fail that a lot in terms of acquisitions, this is at least the kind of player, the profile of a player that you would bring in. He has really good AAA numbers. He hits bunches of home runs. And he seems to be a promising prospect who just didn't have anywhere to go in his last organization.
Right.
I say good move, at least to find out.
And I say put him in left field and play. And why not? I mean, the way things have gone, Tommy Pham has struggled. And I know they'll defer to the fact he's a veteran and they paid him. But, you know, the best move Ben Cherington has made so far is coming up with Joey Bart after he was waived by San Francisco. Now, he was a number two overall pick. But this guy, Canario, is highly regarded, and he's 24. He got blocked. You know, he hit a grand slam against the Pirates in his first game back in 2023 in Chicago. He went to the Mets. He's been traded a couple of times, but he's been blocked everywhere he goes, it seems. Give him a chance.
I agree.
What do you have to lose
Nothing.
By that?
More games.
It reminds That's me, it. There's a guy from St. Louis, and this is a little bit different, but not. He was an international signing, and he had three home runs yesterday for them. Ivan Herrera for St. Louis Cardinals. He looks like every time he gets up there, he takes these massive swings, and when he connects, that Big Mac land out there in left field is under attack.
Remember Efren Herrera, the kicker, Bob,
yes.
with the mustache?
Yes.
He looked like Freddie Prinze, I remember, Efren Herrera. Tommy Pham is batting .087. I mean, what are we doing here?
What happened to We Are Family, Joe? Seems like the
turned.
Family is splitting apart. They need a little reunion.
You like this move, Limits?
Yeah, see, I do want to throw a little bit of a caution into the wind because he was DFA'd. And, I mean, nobody really got anything for him. They got him in a trade for, what was it, cash considerations or something. But I will say, he hit 37 home runs in the minors in 22
yeah.
and 18 last year. So you didn't give up anything for him. I'm not saying it's going to end up like Joey Bart.
Me neither.
But why not? If your other option is Tommy Pham and Jack Sawinski striking out all the time, even though Sawinski's been, I think, okay compared to at least last year, I would play him,
what?
Yes. I'd give him a chance.
Sawinski stinks
compared
so
to last
far.
Year.
You lost
last
your
year
mind?
He was horrible.
Limits. Let's go look his numbers up
Let's
here.
Let's do it.
He struck out 7 of his last 8 at bats. Right?
Well, he drove in a couple runs.
He makes Tommy Pham look like Mickey Mantle. He's batting 158 with 9 strikeouts in 19 at bats.
He was only hitting about 120 in his final month with the Pirates last year. I'm not trying to make excuses here for Jack Sawinski in any regard. I would give Canario a chance and to play in the left. Give him like an extended 2 or 3 week stint. Why not? What else do you have to lose?
I agree. And believe me, AAA is littered with, you know, hot hitters who will never make it, like Henry Davis. They say there's never been more of a gulf between AAA and the majors. I get all that. But you can't discount numbers and just say they won't translate until you actually see it. So good move. At least to find out what you got. That's number 3, Bob.
Yeah, I want to put him out there as soon as possible. Just play him.
Likewise. Has he been activated for this series, Limits?
Oh, no, he has still not been activated since the deal.
I don't think he's in Pittsburgh yet. Is he having problems getting here, or is he here? I don't know where he is. They haven't really said so.
And they haven't demoted him down to AAA either. They've not made an official transaction with him. One other thing, because one outfielder in, one outfielder out, Josh Palacios, who ultimately was designated for assignment and opted for his release, is signing with the White Sox.
Thank you, Limits. The other thing, go ahead, Bob.
No, they gave him a chance. Why not Canario?
Yeah.
You know, same kind of player, maybe. Potentially there's something there.
Completely. Here's a big one for me. This is number 4 of things I've liked about the Pirates over the past 2 days, on and off the field. O'Neill Cruz. I think a lot of sins of the offseason could be wiped out if this guy turns into a star. I don't know that he will, but he is a year removed from that traumatic leg injury. He had an offseason to get ready. I thought he had 2 great at-bats yesterday, the opposite field homer. And then, you know, Bob Walk said it well, like right after that sack fly, the way he worked the count, kept the ball in play, and drove in an insurance run He said that was a really impressive at-bat, and I agree. He's got a 922 OPS early in the season. He's got almost as many walks as strikeouts. He leads the team in total bases. Like, what if we get the O'Neill Cruz that we've always wondered about, that people have dreamed of? What if we get a 30-40 home run guy, something like that, and a star? What if we get a star here? Man, stars make up for a lot. You win with stars in pro sports. I'm just wondering, Bob, I love what I saw yesterday, and I like the start he's off to.
He's got 5 stolen bases. He leads the majors in that. His play in the outfield has not stopped him from concentrating at the bat, so that's good.
His play's got to
get better, obviously, but he's still, they're putting guys who've never really played different positions in those positions. You have to be somewhat patient. As long as the bat plays, I'm okay with his learning curve.
I was just going to say that, which is why I requested to interrupt you, Bob, which I apologize for.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable I just said.
So do I. Is that he could also be living proof that if you hit, the other crap really doesn't matter.
Right.
He can
especially on this team.
He can leave his glove at the hotel. He can leave his glove in the car. And I've said the same thing about Henry Davis since he walked in here. Everybody worried about what position he can play. Hitter. That's why you draft a guy one overall so he smashes the baseball. I don't give a crap where Henry Davis plays. He can play DH every day. He can play a horse bleep right field. He can play a horse bleep first base. If you hit, if you become a star, if you become worthy of the number one overall pick, nobody cares. Did anybody care where Manny Ramirez played or how well he played? Who the hell cares? If you hit, you help your team win.
I still think, though, that O'Neill Cruz is going to win them a lot of games, but there's a good chance that he loses them a couple of games, too. And I truly wonder with those plays that he made in center field during that Marlins series where he didn't hit the right cutoff man, the bullpen ended up blowing the lead, especially with a bullpen, at least at that time, that was struggling and needed every break that they could get.
I'll make that trade every single day of the week. Give me a star hitter. I really, really don't care that much about his fielding.
I do care about the fielding. Now, I'm not going to completely just throw it to the wayside and not consider it, but if he can be a 30-30 guy, then yeah, that significantly takes away some of those faults where you take a lot of those great things with some of the bad that just happens to come with it.
How about if he's a 40-40 guy? How about if he's a 40-40 guy?
Yeah, then you just shrug it off.
Then do you care about him missing a cutoff guy?
No, I care about him being able to read the ball properly in center field. Okay.
Then put him at DH. And make the move that way and put somebody else in center field.
I'd be fine with that.
They need star hitters. And if
that's
this
why I would have Henry Davis up right now and just say go for it for a little bit. Let's see what you can do. You've done it in AAA. McCutchen hasn't played in 3 games. I'm not sure why. Reynolds has an arm problem, apparently. So, I want to see guys up here and do their thing. And I want to give them an extended look at this point. And that would be Canario and Davis.
Now, for all I know, Cruz will go south at some point, right? Or will wind
up disappointing
us. I still
think he's going to end up with really good numbers offensively.
They need him to be a star slash maybe superstar. That's what they need from him. And it's possible. I'm saying. I'm encouraged by that start at the plate. I really am. And on the bases, like you mentioned. And the fifth thing, Bob, that I like over these past 48 hours or so, and how could you not, is Paul Skenes. This stud. Oh, my God. He allows 2 singles over 7 innings, an unearned run, and he doesn't even think he pitched well. He has a 1.46 ERA through 2 games, and he's just ramping up. We could be looking at the greatest, and this is not hyperbole. I think this is just straightforward, like reasonable thinking. We could be looking at the greatest season ever by a Pirates pitcher. We could be looking at the Cy Young Award winner, and I feel like every time out, this dude is going to be a threat to throw a no-hitter. So that gives them, at least once every 5 days, maybe 6, a real chance to not only win a ball game but have it be done in memorable fashion, Bob. This guy is ridiculous.
He's special, and that's why they needed to have done more in this offseason. And moving forward, they better do a lot more. If they're not going to give him a Jackson Merrill treatment, then they're going to have to figure out how to spend money around him and do it quickly, because I don't see many offensive bats coming up through their system. They need a lot of that to take advantage of him and them. Yeah, the fact that he went yesterday and seemed to be unhappy with this. You look back at his first 25 major league games, he has the best ERA ever to start a season after 25 games of any pitcher, like 1.92, I think it is.
It's unreal.
He's going to give you a chance to win every single game he's out there.
Yes, he is. And I'm going to call multiple no-hitters this season. I'm serious
about
that.
That would be tough to bet that, but I can see what you're saying. He's going to take games deep into it, seventh, eighth innings with no hits.
So far in his career, he's 12-3 with a 1.92 ERA and 183 strikeouts in 145 innings. I just think it stands to reason
and that he's only 22.
That he's going to get better. He's going to get better. Like, the league punches back, that's true, but this guy is so smart that he already figured that out last year. Like, I think it took him one start to see that if I just try to pump 101 by these guys, you know, even Ohtani, I think that game was a great lesson. You know, yeah, he blew away Betts and Ohtani early, and it was legendary, but then Ohtani took him 900 feet, you know what I mean? And there were other teams that hit his fastball. So what does he do? He counters with the splinker and with bunches of off-speed stuff, which for him is still about 92 miles an hour. And he won games with the off-speed stuff late in the year. And you know, then he goes into the off-season, and he knows they're going to counterpunch again, so he develops two new pitches. He's already at 22, a master out there, Bob.
He strikes me, and
he can go to the 102 when he needs to.
He strikes me as baseball's version of Sidney Crosby. Always looking to get better, even though he could say, you know, I'm pretty good right now. I don't need. No, he's not satisfied. He's going to, and he has that serious stoic look every time he's out there. He's all business, and he will try to completely get better every time he's out there. Learn from a mistake, adjust to the mistake, and make that mistake go away. He's got everything you would want except an offense, and that's what has to change.
Very interesting man to listen to as well, isn't he, after the games?
Yeah. Very insightful, deep diving into his own thoughts.
Yeah. Do we have some of that for next here, Limits? Some of these Skeens post-game?
Yes. We do have a clip on him with GQ Magazine.
Yeah.
And what that was like.
We'll do that next.
We'll hear from Skeens.
Could I add one thing that I take away as a really big positive for them right now?
Yes, sir.
They lead the majors, the Pirates do, in stolen bases by a lot. 19 stolen bases this year.
Which underscores their ineptitude hitting with runners in scoring position. With that many steals, you have immediately those guys are all in scoring position.
Yeah.
And they can't get hits. Or their batting average in those situations is not good. And I know it's six games, but it has to get better.
Especially because they have the third lowest slugging percentage in all of baseball at .278 so far this year, and they're only hitting .197 as a team.
Yeah. Again, don't get me wrong. I don't think they're very good. In fact, I think they're probably a last-place team. But when things happen that I agree with, or when things happen on the field that I like, those need to be pointed out too. And exactly. I think that Cruz is a big one. I do.
Well, he's going to be the catalyst, really, for this offense for right now.
They don't need him to be good.
I mean, Reynolds is?
They need him to be great.
Reynolds, I don't think, can lift that level to where Cruz potentially can get.
I agree.
Now, if they both do it, that would be great.
Reynolds is what he is, a good player.
He's a good player.
And hopefully that'll show sooner rather than later. And unlike last year when the game still mattered, he wasn't hitting very well. He didn't really heat up until June of last year. It's got to happen earlier. I know he's struggling with an injury, but that apparently is not affecting him at the plate. That's why he DH'd, right?
Yes.
Cruz will be a 30-30 guy this year. I'm confident enough to say it.
Yeah. Is that good enough?
For what? Good enough for what?
I mean, I'm hoping he can be a 40 home run
guy. I think
in
time he might be.
I'm hoping he can have a
30. I'll take 30 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to. 40's a lot.
He has six steals in six games.
Well, I guess it depends on what else happens. Yeah, the steals are nice, but like Bob said, if nobody's there to drive you in, they don't really matter. Like, let's see what else he does at the plate. I'll take 30 homers if he's got an OPS near 1,000. Then we're talking.
Yeah.
It's not all about homers. But, man, all I'm saying is they need him to be a star. And this might be the year.
Well, it's time. You have to show that sign if he's going to be one. This year would be it. He and Ellie De La Cruz are two guys that have often been compared. But he plays shortstop, and he's still not the best shortstop, Ellie De La Cruz. But, boy, that bat comes to life. To your point earlier, Joe, If you can hit, you could find me, and I'm not going to really overreact to defense. If you can hit the kind of home runs and the kind of numbers that I'm looking at, I'll settle for average defense.
I mean, history is littered with guys. I mentioned Manny Ramirez. I could rattle off 30 more that nobody cared about their defense. You know, they hit. Hitting's the name of the game. All right, Bob. Let's hear from Paul Skeens next. And also, there's a shipment of torpedo bats on the way here.
How about that?
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Really good story from the Noah Constrictor today, Noah Hiles at the Post-Gazette, about these torpedo bats and how the Pirates are ordering some of these individual players. It's like hockey sticks, you know, it's individualized. I don't think the team itself orders them, but players do. Jared Triolo's ordering one, Bob. If it makes him a power hitter, miracles may never cease. But
turn into Brady Anderson of the Orioles back in the day.
Right. They're available. They appear to be working. The Yankees, and it was the physicist from MIT, Aaron Lenhart, who was working with the Yankees when he developed this. And it's a very simple concept. For example, like Triolo told the Noah Constrictor, he showed him a bat and said, look at all these marks where, you know, I'm making outs, basically. And if you can move the barrel to where technology shows you, or the marks on your bat show you, that you're not making good contact, you're making outs, why wouldn't you do that? I don't think it makes a bad hitter into a good one, Bob, but it surely can help. It can make a bad hitter into a mediocre to bad hitter.
Efficient, more efficient. You know, so I kept saying the other day, it was like a golf club when you get a fitting. It's the same thing. We hit balls differently based on our swing. So if you have the head of the club and you're always hitting it to the top of the club, then you know you need some loft, you need to change, whatever, and you can do that now with the heads of drivers.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're doing with this, just figuring out where the sweet spot is for you. It's different for everyone based on the length of your swing, how you swing, all of that.
Why wouldn't you try it, especially if you're the Pirates? And when the Yankees hit 15 home runs or whatever it was in their opening weekend series, including 9 in one game, and most of those were with torpedo bats. And then Elly De La Cruz for the Reds in his first game using a torpedo bat hits 2 home runs and drives in 7. I know he's capable of a lot. That opens my eyes, and I was glad to see the headline on the Noah Constrictor story. Torpedo bats have caused a stir, and Pirates want their hands on them. I say good.
Yeah, I absolutely say good. Why wouldn't you? If there's a way to improve your swing. And here's the other part of this. If by doing so you become more confident as a hitter,
yeah,
that's a huge mental hurdle you've just cleared. So it helps you from your belief that you'll be able to do it. So all of it is good. Again, as long as it meshes up to the standards of Major League Baseball rules, then there's nothing wrong with it. It's innovative, and it's going to catch fire, and this guy should make a lot of money.
Yeah, and I see people, the Yankees had a bad game yesterday. Nobody's saying if you use a torpedo bat, you're going to hit a homer every time. You're still going to miss the ball and things like that. I mean, it's not going to cure strikeouts and things like that. But the point is pretty obvious, really. If I'm moving the barrel of the bat to a spot where I most commonly hit it, that has to be a good thing. Now, I did see something, Bob, where Giancarlo Stanton for the Yankees, he had 2, I think there were elbow injuries going into the season. He's a guy that quietly went to this bat in the postseason last year and hit tons of homers. And there was some thinking that, does this bat like affect you because the weight distribution is different? Could you get injured? He says no, But I did. That was an interesting little side note. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean it does. It's different than your normal swing in terms of what you're doing. So you could, I suppose, do it. But I think that's a small consideration. You know, if the positive side of this is that you would become a more confident hitter because you know this bat is catered to your swing, let's go. I want to see more of it. Offense needs to happen in baseball. It's right now. It's become very strikeout oriented. There's not a lot of balls in play. You may get more balls in play. Forget about home runs. You just could hit the ball to the gaps more.
Right. And like we were talking about yesterday, the pitchers have such an advantage in terms of technology with these pitching labs and designer pitches. They can go in and design a new pitch and have it ready in a very short amount of time. And yet some of these guys are bitching and moaning. You know, I've seen a reliever for the Mets or the Brewers. Like, you know, this is, what is this, slow pitch softball? Well, you know, this is Bush League, things like that. Why can't the hitter strike back within the rules in technology? I'll bet you Rob Manfred loves this because offense sells, right?
Yeah, and baseball loved it when there was a steroid thing going on and everybody's hitting the cover off the ball. So they're not going to, they would like to see it help people put the ball in play. I think that was something that he said a while back where he said, my biggest concern is not home runs. It's fewer strikeouts and putting the ball in play.
I don't know if this helps you with putting balls in play, though.
I do.
Really?
If you're a better hitter, if you're confident with it and it helps your swing, the way you swing, you don't have to have the power. Regardless of what the torpedo bat does, it's not like it's corked. You're not going to be able to just hit the ball and it's going to go forever with an exit velocity that O'Neill Cruz brings.
But I don't see how a different barrel helps you not miss the ball.
I'm saying it makes you more confident. And if you're more confident, you can do more things at the plate, whether that's plate awareness to get you ahead in the count, whatever the case may be.
Does part of you just want them to allow anything? That's what the reliever, I think, for the Phillies said, was basically, if they can do that, can we go back to using spider tack or whatever that stuff was? Like, part of me wonders and thinks, just let everybody do whatever they want. You want to use steroids? Seriously. You want to use steroids? Use steroids.
We've had that conversation before, and I think that's a legitimate one.
You want
to
use
pine tar?
If
you're willing to risk what happens to you later in your life because you think you – and again, by taking steroids by no means means you're going to hit the ball. If you have bad hand-eye coordination, it doesn't matter. You can be big as can be and have the strength, but if you don't hit it right, you're not going to get any results.
They've been cheating in baseball since the invention of the game. It's just a matter of what form. And they're still cheating, I'm sure, in various forms. I'm sure guys have, you know, found ways to fool the drug testers. I'm positive there are still guys.
Jerickson Profar, who just got suspended for 80 games, you know, he signed a big deal with the Braves. 80 games, he's not eligible for the postseason because he had a masking agent. Last year, he said he passed 8 drug tests. This year, he got caught first time.
There's guys still doing it, right, is the point. And why not just let them do basically whatever they want? Does part of you think that limits? Just let them do whatever they want? Let people cheat?
No.
They're cheating anyway, and they always have.
That's the thing that's frustrating to me. Like, there's so many different avenues and ways to go about it. But right now, like, I don't think that it's all-out cheating. It's just, I think...
No, this isn't cheating.
It's innovation.
Yeah. Not yet.
It's stretching the rules to some degree. It's innovation,
to some degree,
yes. But it's making, you're looking for advantages. And I think if you aren't trying to do that, then you're not trying hard enough. Yeah. Sometimes you have to figure out ways, whether that's stealing signals, you can do it in a clandestine way, you just figure it out, whatever. You're trying to get an edge.
Yeah, this isn't cheating, but it leads to the question of if they're going to do this, can we openly cheat? Yes, I say. Just let all cheating go. Because it's always happened anyway, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, teams have done it. Leagues have done it.
It's
leagues
like paying players in college sports. It's like they've always done it anyway.
Right, that's the same kind of thing. Although now we're at you see all these teams losing players left and right. Now Pitt is following Robert Morse's lead.
I know.
You know, I feel good for Andy Tui. He got a new contract, but he has to retool everything now. The whole team's gone.
Did you like that horse? He has to
retool everything.
Man, I used to walk into those hockey dressing rooms and, you know, the weapon of choice is your hockey stick That's how you make your living, really. And those guys were incredibly finicky about it. You'd walk in and there was, you know, a blowtorch where they were working on the curve and how to tape it. And they were always talking to the equipment. There would be these, you know, guys you hadn't seen before who are equipment guys. That's how they make their living. You know, that's like a guitar player who's finicky about the guitar. Of course, that's how he's earning money. And it's the same thing in baseball. The glove and the bat. The Noah Constrictor asked Kiner Falefa, you know, how much time would you need here to try one of these torpedo bats? He said, one good swing and I'm taking it into the game. If it drastically improves the power, why not give it a shot? I feel like guys across baseball will agree with that, Bob. Do you?
Yes, especially because that's the players who are at the plate want better numbers. It means money in the long run. It also helps your team. So, yes, if they can gain an advantage that way, sure. I'll be anxious to see, you know, so they're coming here. How soon will they be here, and can they use them in this series? Because you know the Yankees are.
You know they're coming in with the torpedo bats.
Not all of them, though. Aaron Judge doesn't. You know, why mess with him?
Is he one who's not using it?
He's not using it.
That's interesting.
He's already hit four home runs this year, too, and he doesn't need it.
Well, that's, like I said before, that's kind of the other side of it, is the feel of it. And it's got to feel a lot different. When the barrel of the bat moves, right?
Absolutely. It's like getting a new club and it's heavier.
Yeah.
Like in golf, or lighter. And you have to adjust your swing based on that, because your swing changes based on how, you know, how it's shaped, the weight of it, all of it, the length of it. So there is an adjustment period, but I don't think it'll take long. If players believe it can help them, we'll see what happens. I would love to see that help the Pirates. They need it.
Man, do they ever. That lineup,
but again,
needs something.
We should not kid ourselves into thinking they're suddenly going to become a 300 collective hitting team.
No, of course not. No, but it gives you a better chance.
A better chance, that's all.
Maybe. I mean, it's still very tiny sample size here.
The thing that has to change overall, regardless of what bat they're using or a broom or whatever they have in their hands, you got to be better at plate awareness. They're striking out way too many times or falling behind in too many counts, and you can't do that.
Coming up next, wait till you hear about a team. There's another team that was interested in trading for Joe Milton, according to one insider. You may know that team. We'll tell you next, and that's going to be part of the Limitless Express. You want to tease to the other treats you have, Limits?
Yes, I would love to, Joe. The Steelers have a new agreement with a team. What is this about? And also, one man stays alive while another man falls. What does that mean?
The story of life.
We'll tell you next.
Join us Friday on Federal Street for opening day. Nova Place is just steps from PNC Park and a short walk to Acrisure Stadium, located along South Commons. Prepay and reserve your parking at Nova Place Garage on Spot Hero. The best part is an easy exit with any direction after your event without getting stuck in traffic near the stadiums. Nova Place offers parking for all events on the North Shore, sports events, concerts, and more. Bob, I'm thinking about playing some songs out at a coffee shop. Will you go tonight, or are you working?
No, I'm working tonight. Got a lot to do. Playing songs at a coffee shop? You actually go in there with a guitar?
Yeah.
You do?
That's how you do it.
Are you
paid,
or do they just...
Paid? No, I'm horrible.
So you go in there. How about if they don't like it?
Then they boo, but that hasn't happened yet.
Wow.
Limits, would you like to join me?
A musical barista.
I would love to join you, but I am not available tonight.
Call in sick.
Cannot do that.
All right, I'll just do it by myself with no support from my friends.
I think people will love it, though.
No,
it's soothing.
Won't.
Yes, it is.
They will.
Just don't yelp in the middle of it.
They're going to hate it.